God gave Solomon something special because he realized that life was a few days and full of trouble. He realized that riches was vanity. He realized that all of these other things that he'd set his heart to was nothing. And God gave him what the Bible terms as an understanding heart. That's why he knew those things. And as he prayed to God and said, Lord, who can speak to thy people? So great a people they are. How can I speak to them? I don't know how to go in and out among them. And he said, Lord, help me. Help me to know what to do. Give me an understanding heart. And so then God gave him an understanding heart. And out of the understanding heart came the knowledge as to know what to do to get riches and power and all of the many things that the world had to afford. When we get an understanding heart, then we have everything. Everything can be at our fingertip, but if we don't have an understanding heart, we don't get anything. But through an understanding heart, Solomon learned all about the vanities of the world and decided that the sum of the whole matter was that you should fear God. That's what you should do, is fear God and keep his commandments. Whereas the Bible uses the terms, the fear of God, that is the beginning of wisdom. You don't find wisdom till you learn to fear God. You just blunder on through life. So then life is but a few days and full of trouble. As to the heart, everything is built around the heart. In my heart, there is continual sorrow. Within the heart is life. Within the heart is death. From out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and lying and theft, blasphemy. And the issues of life is out of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As he thinks within his heart, so then his heart contains his mind. And Paul said, with the mind I serve God. In that God is a spirit, a man's mind is a spirit. In that it is his hidden angelic being that's referred to as the inner man. Everything is within the heart. The flesh profiteth nothing. Though you might think you look nice, you might feel that you're something in your body, you may feel that you are just what the world needs. But your flesh, so far as the bastard child, so far as the image that you are born with, God hates it. He said in that day, I will despise your image. In the morning, he said, whereas Calvary is the morning as to the dawning of the day star within the heart. As down through the church ages, we follow this trail and find the day star has come. And it begins to dawn within us. That is to say, we've come in contact with light. And the light begins to break forth. And from glory to glory, we are enlightened. The Bible speaks of being enlightened as to our minds and hearts being enlightened. The flesh profiteth nothing. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you have riches or whether you're poor, your flesh profiteth nothing. Not a little, but nothing. The Bible does say that bodily exercise profiteth little. But the flesh in its ultimatum profiteth nothing. But the spirit within the heart, there is a world. A world. I say this so often, like in this world, for instance, we look around us and we think, my, what a great, mighty world this is. What a great, mighty world. And we say to one another, we say, I'm enjoying life. I like living in this world. Or that's the way we think. But really, it's not like that at all. It's not that we are in the world. I say this so often to you that you might understand, that you might get your bearings. It's not that we are in the world. That's not what it's all about. The world principally consists of nothing except, thank you, except a few atomic particles that God has made, and everything in this world will be burned, it will be done away with, and it profiteth nothing so far as the world. The world passes away. One generation will come, the Bible tells us, another generation. And the Bible teaches that the earth abideth forever, but it passeth away. As to the world that you live in, Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And as it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said, and the end of the world came upon those people. So then the end of the world came upon Noah and those people. And then there came another world. And today there is another world. Peter stood at Pentecost and said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so then a world passed away, or is passing away. And then there is another world that is to come. The Bible speaks of worlds in the plural, worlds without end. So there's another world to come. So we talk about being in this world, and of course people are in this world. Those that are caught in this world, they are in this world, and yet they're only in this world because the world is in them. They would not be in this world if the world was not in them. And so the Bible said that God has set the world within the heart. We're right back to where we started. God has set the world within the heart. And because the world is on the inside of you, you can't get out of the world. You are caught in the world because the world is on the inside of you. But it's going to be a sad, sad thing that will happen to the world. Let me read just a little bit in the fourth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. First verse, fourth chapter. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and in judgment and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this girt you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, O Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come upon me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and published affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make he mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she has been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness. It is bitter because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard. O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, destruction upon destruction is cried. For the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet will I not make a full end, for this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. Because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rendest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. I could go on with this because there's quite a bit of judgment that's determined right here upon the cities, the world. It's telling us that all of the nations shall be forsaken. Every one of them shall be forsaken. There won't be anybody in there after the wrath of God. He'll drive them all into the thickets, all out into the outer places or in the suburban areas, to the extent that when bombs begin to fall, the rage of them that are taking over, when they begin to come in, people will be afraid. They'll be killed. They'll be destroyed. He said, I saw the cities fall like John. I saw all of the great cities of the world crumble to the ground. Places like Atlanta, Georgia will crumble to the ground. We predicted that Atlanta would become one of the biggest, if not the largest city in all of the world. That was numbers of years ago when she was just, she didn't have all that many inhabitants then. We predicted that it would grow. Today they say it's the largest airport, or the business airport, that is, in the world, and moving toward being the largest. Atlanta has expanded, become great and mighty. She's an international city. We predicted that it would happen because of the revelation of Christ and what God was going to do in the areas of Atlanta. It's come to pass, one thing right after another. See, but even great and mighty Atlanta, Georgia, will crumble. The great cities of London, New York, all of these great places will literally crumble. The buildings will crumble to the ground. Why? Because this world passeth away. This world has to pass away. There has been a world in the days of Noah. It passed away. Now there is another world. That world, Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of that world have come. And so then there is an end to motherhood. You can't find mothers anymore. You can find plenty of women, but you can't find mothers. There's an end of motherhood. And there's an end of fathers. You can find lots of men, but you don't find very many fathers anymore. Even in the gospel, whereas the Bible speaks of the fathers and mothers in the gospel, laying up for the children. But you don't find very many fathers anymore, very many mothers anymore. See, because the end of the world has come, the end of motherhood, the end of fatherhood, the end of sons and daughters. You don't find a real son anymore or a real daughter anymore. There's just not any real sons and daughters anymore. There's not any around anymore. Unless it's a true born again Christian, somebody that really loves God, even in the church, you don't find very many sons and daughters in the church. They are your children. They are your children to the extent that they were born unto you, but they'll spit in your face. They don't reverence you. They don't care for you. They don't honor you to the extent of conforming to your desire. Children years ago honored the parents. The Bible said, children, honor your parents, that your days might be long upon the earth that the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first commandment with promise. Or that is the first commandment of God that has something that is promised to you. Eternal life, long life, is that commandment. Honor your parents. So then you don't find any mothers. You don't find any fathers. You don't find any family life anymore. It's just one big scramble up, jumble up mess of dope, of drink, and all of the things of the world. People live like dogs. They don't have any decency anymore, any morals anymore. You can get on a plane to take a trip or a train, or you can go into a public place and they're cursing and drinking and just lounging around in what the world calls the vomit. The vomit. Them people, God has spewed them out of his mouth. He even spoke of the church. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. That is, you're lukewarm. I spew you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm. You're vomit. Even the tables of God. So then the world is passing away. The world is passing away. How is the world passing away? You know, so far as looking around at the world, it's still there. The trees are still there. The sunshine is still there. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see where the world is passing away. I see the world. The Bible said in the latter days they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things remain the same as when the fathers fell asleep. I don't see any difference. When my dad died and his dad died, you know, today is just the same. We work, we eat, we drink. The sunshine is still there. But you've got to remember something. That when the world passed away in the days of Noah, the sunshine was still there. The moon was still there. This is the same sun. This is the same moon. This is the same earth that you're on. But yet the Bible said the world passed away. The world passed away. So then we see that the world is something that we don't fully understand unless we are acquainted with God. So then where is the world? I look around and I say, well, I don't see where the world passed away. I still see the trees. I still see the things round about me that Noah saw. Where then is the, did this world come from? Or where did the other world go to? I don't see any change in it. It's all the same. See, because the Bible said one generation comes, another goes, but the earth abideth forever. The earth abideth forever. When you stand in the great millennium earth, you'll be standing on the same earth. You'll be standing on this very same earth. But the world will then have passed away again. So then where is the world? Is the world then to be considered as to the trees? Or as to the things that we see round about us? As to the growth that comes out of the ground? Am I then to consider that the world, or am I then to consider that, according to biblical terminology, earth? Are the things that God created as to the earth giving forth life? And am I to think that that earth is going to pass away? Or that God made that earth to abide forever? So then I'm back where I started. The world passed away. And then there's another world. What is then a world? A world is a system. It's a way of life. It's a great, mighty system. The world is a system. It is a spirit. A spirit is a system. A system is a world. And the world that passed away back there was a system. God let it pass away. Now then we're faced with another world passing away. Another system is beginning to pass away. A great, mighty system is beginning to pass away. Even the system of Lucifer is beginning to pass away. This great, mighty system of the world is beginning to pass away. And all of the subjects of that system will pass away with that system. But there's coming forth now another system, a great, mighty mind of God. And that great mind is the system of heaven. That is the heavenly orient, or that is the heavenly thoughts, or that is the heavenly inspiration, or that is the heavenly power that is coming forth within a people to make them heavenly. So then we can see that a great thing is taking place. That is why that I preach to you like I do. That is why I tell you the things that I do. There is a world out there, a great system out there. That system belongs to Satan. There is a great system out there. That system is an intellectual system. That system is a knowledge. That system is a form of life. And it comes from the tree of knowledge where the trouble started in the garden. And that system belongs to the beast. It was through that system that it got its strength. And that same system of intellectual reasoning today, which is in men's heart, that same system today is going on stronger and stronger as more men are educated and as the world moves stronger into their system. The Bible calls it a light because it is a light. It is a light, which means it is a world or a system. God calls it a light, but he says that it is a dark light. It is a knowledge. Anything that has life, anything that can come into existence is considered a light, because light is considered life, and that is a form of life. But the Bible also calls it darkness, saying that it is a dark light. Said, if that light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Or that is to say, light is understanding. The Bible said the understanding of our heart, or our understanding being enlightened, that we might comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. So then any form of life is a light, because that has come to be existence. That has come into a realm of existence, which means it is life, a form of life, which means that it is light. So then there is a form of life that is a lower level of life, even down to the little tiny ant. You wonder how that a little tiny thing, like the minute things of today, how can have life? Where does the life dwell? It's so tiny. Where does the life dwell? But see, life is a form of life. Life. It is an existence. Life is light, or light is life. That's why the Bible uses the terms when the apostles was talking about Jesus, they said, and this life. We have handled this life with our hands. And he was the life. And Jesus said, I am the Prince of life. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. And the Bible teaches that the heart is, again, coming to the heart. The heart is the soundness of the body. A good, healthy heart is the soundness of the body. Life exists within the heart. Because it's within your heart that you have your mind. And as you think in your heart, so you are. So the little place of life is within your heart. That little place of life is within the heart.
and the rest of the things around you profiteth nothing. That is to say, bringing it down to a minute side of life as to the inner man. It is the invisible angelic forces of your being that keeps you alive. It is not your ability to eat. It is not your ability to drink. If eating and drinking is what keeps you alive, then why is it when you are young, you eat and you drink, and you get stronger and stronger, and you get more radiant in health and appearance? But after a certain time, you keep eating and drinking, and you can put in vitamins, you can jog, you can do what you want to, but you're doing the very same thing, but at the same time, you're dying and getting older and going out and withering all the time. Why is that? See, there is an answer. Great is the mystery of godliness, for the Bible said that God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was caught up in the heaven. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mystery. And the Bible says that at the time when the angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, the time ceased. The world stopped. There was no more world. That was the end of it. Everything ceased. Everything ceased because the mystery of God was finished. So then the things of God have an end. When we think of this, that's why that I use the terms that I have a continual feast. That's why I say that I have a merry heart. Because I do, in spite of all of the problems of life, in spite of all of the sorrows of the heart that is in a continuation, I have a continual feast. And I am thrilled beyond words. There's nothing that could express the excitement of my life, of my heart, of the inner man, because of my thinking. As I think on the inside, as I think within my heart, so am I. So then I have a great world. I have a great life. I have a great, wonderful fellowship with God. And I pass from death unto life. I'm no longer abiding within the realms of the veil, the darkened veil of death as to intellectual reasoning, as to a form of life. I'm in the great, wonderful light of God. The Bible speaks of Moses, said, and Moses was in the presence of God for 80 long days. And then the Bible said when he came down from the mountain, they had to put a veil over his face because they could not look at the light. The brightness of it, even Stephen's, when they stoned him to death, the Bible said his face was so bright, it shined so brightly. The wisdom that he gave forth made his face to shine so brightly. This wisdom, this understanding that comes from the heart. See, the veil was over Moses, and when Paul speaks of this, he says, and that was a light, that was a life, that was a form of existence. He said, but this light that we have, he said, we are the light of the world. And he said, this light is so great that that light had no glory as to compare it with this light. He said, that light, though it was great and though it was mighty, he said, yet it had no glory in that this light that we speak of excels so greatly. So I said, what are you speaking of, Moses? Now, or Paul, or Moses, what was you speaking of that was so great? And yet, it isn't great compared to what I'm speaking of. And I read the Old Testament, and I look back there, and I think, but my God, look what Moses did. He opened up the earth. Look what Joshua did. Look at the great, mighty light of that was within the veil. The great things that they did. And then I think, but God, here, this is greater. You spoke of John, none greater than John the Baptist, but on that side of the veil, on that side of Calvary, on that side of the law, none greater. And yet you say he that is least on this side of Calvary, as to be a member of the body of Christ, as one on this side of Calvary, as a Christian, is greater than John. And I think, none greater, not even Elijah was greater, not even Abraham was greater. And yet here we are on this side of Calvary. Here we are on this side of the veil. And the Bible said, even the least one in the kingdom is greater. So then we are in a greater light. We are in a greater understanding. We are a son of God. They were prophets. They were servants. But I am a son of God. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I have his very life. I have the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. I have his life. I have his blood. Royal blood flows through my veins. I am one with my heavenly Father. I am an eternal God because he hath made me one in Christ, who is the only true and a living God. And Jesus said, is it not written in the scriptures, I have called ye gods? My, I say, being a God, more than being a God. Someone would say, well, being a God is the ultimate. More than being a God. We are more than just a God. God said to Moses, I've made you God. I've made you God to Aaron and to the people. Why, he made Moses God. But we are greater than that, because we are the Lord of lords and the King of kings and the God of gods, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as one with him. All because of his glory, his righteousness, his power, his brilliance. He hath made us one with him. So today we stand one with our heavenly Father. All because of his righteousness that far excels anything in the past, anything on the other side of the veil. What are we then? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he went away and he said, ye are the light of the world. And he said, Father, make these one even as we are one. You're the great light. I'm one with that light. The Bible teaches that no man has seen the Father, that is God, at any time. No man has ever seen him. And Jesus Christ alone dwells within that light. For the Bible said he dwells within the light into which no man can approach. And here we are one with him. Here we are the body of the Lord Jesus dwelling within this great light that no man can approach unto. Did you know there's no living human being can come unto this light? No living human being. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. That is to say, when you are a human being, when you are a man, when you're out in the world, you're on the other side of Calvary. Did you know that you can't get to this light? For the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And the Bible said that Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even the eyes of understanding, that they cannot see. They cannot comprehend. The Bible said, and this light shined within darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Did you know that this gospel is coming to the world? This great light is coming to the world? And did you know that the world can't comprehend this with all of their educated abilities? All the professors and all of their studies ever learning, never able to come to this truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth? Did you know that they cannot comprehend this light? For the Bible said it is so high, so great. God has set it so high that it is higher above their understanding than the heavens is the earth. And they cannot comprehend it, but we comprehend it. So then the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you may have the spirit of Christ to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width and the length of this great marvelous thing. We comprehend it. That's why I have a continual feast. That's why I'm so happy. That's why I rejoice. I comprehend this light. As I comprehend this light from within my heart, there is from within my heart, moving from glory to glory, a spiritual angelic being that is enlarging upon this wonderful light. And the day star is dawning within my heart. The Bible teaches that he that overcometh, I will give him the bright and the morning star. That bright and morning star is Christ. And Christ within you is the hope of glory. He is the day star. The sun is called the day star. The great light, the great day star is within my heart. And it's dawning within my heart. There is coming a morning where the Bible reckons time from morning until evening. Or that is to say, it goes into a light as from morning to evening from Calvary. But when it starts in the garden, it is in a state of darkness. It is in a state of darkness. So we are in the dawning of the great light on this side. You walk along, the sun is shining behind you, and your shadow is always in front of you. Wherever you go, as long as the sun is behind you, your shadow is in the front of you. See, but when the light comes up as to Calvary, you can say, Satan, get thee behind me. And the shadow of death passes, changes, and the great light comes up, and you see the light, and the shadow of darkness and death goes behind you. This is why Paul uses the terms, the shadows. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that's why he refers to Calvary and anything beyond Calvary as being types and shadows. From the beginning, we have the shadow in front of us. Because man falls from his garden stage of life. And he falls from that wonderful paradise. And in that he does, Satan is in the front of him. And all down through life, he has to walk under the shadow of death. And he's under the shadow of the condemnation. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he's under the shadow of the curse. But when he begins to get close to Calvary, all of a sudden something begins to take place. Because there is a reversal. There is a change. He had been in the light of the Shekinah glory of God. And he had been illuminated to the extent that he is called the image of God. Well, that is, he is one with the image in the garden as long as he is illuminated, overshadowed by this great light. But when he fell from the garden, then Lucifer came along and the darkness became his covering. And God said, you cover with the covering, but not of the light. It is not my covering. It is a life. It is a light. But he said it is a dark light. It is something that is existent. It is something that's been in the presence of God. It is a form of light, but it has fallen so far from God, the great light, until it is considered darkness. I use this term a lot of times. Even with the filming here, you can see light. Light down here in front of me, and then you can see the border of darkness. Because just beyond that light is darkness. But if they cut off that great light, you've still got light. You've still got light because you've got a form of light. But that light is not light at all compared to these bright lights. When the great light comes over, then the dimensional change comes. And that's the way it is with Calvary. So then, if you step over that long cord right there, you'll step out of the shadows into the light. And yet you had light until this great light came. That's the way it is with the church world today. They've had light. As it has been down through the years, light has come. But it was a candlelight. And then it grew brighter and grew brighter. And the light down through the years being symbolic of the gospel light. In that all of the invisible things as to the gospel, as to the invisible world, are understood by the things that are visible. See, so it has moved as a light. And the light has grown brighter and brighter. Because the gospel is brighter and brighter. And what will that light do? It grew so bright in the life of Enoch until Enoch dissipated and he was no more. He was translated, he was taken out of this world. He was gone. Taken out of this world and taken somewhere. Where was he taken to? Another world. He went into another world. Someone would say, well, where would that be? Right there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus transfigured, he went into another world. What was the world? It was called glory. It was called glory. Someone would say, what do you mean, glory? I preached this one time. The Bible speaks of the stages of glory. It doesn't say stages, but it says, and from glory to glory. And it says there's a difference in the glory of the sun and a difference in the glory of the moon. And a woman's hair is her glory and a young man's strength is his glory. And on we could go into the glories, speaking of the glories. And we are transformating by our minds from one stage of glory to another stage of glory. It is a transformation of our mind because it's coming from our heart, out of the heart. It is coming out of the heart, this great light. We are born of an inward light, of an inward life. And this life is like a little child within the womb that's growing. And the Bible says, Concerning Paul's teachings, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And this great light, this day star, this child of light, it is breaking forth and it's going from glory to glory. The more I learn, the greater I become in the sight of God. The more I conform to that, because the light constraineth me. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me, and I'm transformating in my mind. I've already translated in my angelic being, in my spirit, into another realm. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. I am in the heavenly world. I'm no more in the flesh, because he's chosen me out of the flesh. And now I've been hid up here with Christ in this heavenly world. For heaven is God. Heaven is a spirit. Heaven is God. A lot of times I refrain from talking to some of you like this because you get lost. In your mind, you have to have something tangible. You have to get a hold of something and feel of it, you know, and say, now this is life. This is life. I feel my hand. I can feel my hair. You know, this is life. And so then you go by feeling. And through the human senses, you are deceived. There's a deception because all of its lying vanities it appears to be, and it's not, and it's going to fade away. But someone would say, but Brother Pike, this doesn't just appear to be. But I bring this out a lot of times. How did Jesus walk through the wall if the wall wasn't a lying vanity? Somebody said, well, he was a spirit. Jesus said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So then the world is a lying vanity. See what? It's like a person that's lost their mind. That person is in a world. They have a world of their own. And in that world, they're great. They're mighty. They may tell you their one thing as to Lincoln or Washington, or they own the Brooklyn Bridge or anything else. Because they have lost their sense of reasoning. The brain is still there. The body is still there. The eyes are still there. The ears are still there. They feel. They hear. They see. But all they have is lying vanities. Because it isn't the way they think at all. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is with the church world. A lot of people out there, they feel like they're on their way to heaven when they're on their way to hell. They think they recognize a path that's leading to heaven when it's leading to hell. And the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way is the way to be lost. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and it's not the right way at all. See, Jesus said, I'm the way. That's the right way. I'm the door to the sheepfold. But he said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And those ways are the ways that seem right. Your own ways to do your own thing. To go your own way. See, that's why it is a condition of the heart. It is a condition of the mind. Heaven is a spirit. We are transformating from one realm to another. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I see a tree. That's a tree. I can feel that tree. But scientists have proved, especially men like Einstein, that everything is a form of energy and matter. And they say that it is you just have to have a mind over matter to control it and to do what you want to. Whereas I agree with that. But I've said this so many times, it's Christ's mind over matter, in that he made it, in that he formed it, in that he's the only one that can change it. Through chemical reaction of this world, this life as to energy, things go through a change. Even the mountains, even the valleys, everything goes through a change. See, but in all reality, it is Christ's mind. The Bible said, have this mind within you. Let this mind be within you. Put this mind within your heart. Your mind is in your heart. Let this mind be within you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think it was robbery to say, me and my Father are one. Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So then it is a state of mind. It is a state of mind, a demon possession. A person can get demon possessed, and they've got a state of mind. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, just having a state of mind, that wouldn't make things around you respond to your state of mind. Oh, yes, it would. Oh, yes, it would. Someone would say, you mean to tell me because of a state of mind, a condition of mind, that things around you could respond to that?
It certainly could. I'll tell you what, if you don't believe it can, you just walk down the road and let a lion jump out at you and see what kind of state of mind you get and see what's happening to you. But with Samson, it wasn't like that. There was a prophecy that went forth on Samson, had programmed his mind. And when that lion jumped out and roared at Samson, he just more or less roared back at him. When the lion run at Samson, he just run at him. And the Bible said he caught that lion, that raging lion, and rent it like you had picked up a little baby sheep, or a little baby goat, rather. Said he rent him like a kid, and called a little baby goat a kid. Not only that, but in the opposite, that was as to God. In the opposite, it works identically the same way. That's how Jesus walked through the wall. When Jesus went into the land of Gadara, when he got over there around the tombs, here come a man fierce, running out at him. Jesus didn't give because he knew that he had power over that because of his state of mind, his condition of mind. Paul said, I serve God with my mind. You people today are children of bondage because of your mind. You are caught in the intellectual desire of human reasoning, and the world is on the inside of your heart, which is the mind that come from Satan through the beast, that is by means of the tree of knowledge. It is a condition of mind, and you are a bonds child, and it is a nature, and your image conforms to that nature. And in that, Adam lost. He lost the image of God. He lost it. And you are in a bastard child image. And God said, I will despise your image in the morning. So then it is a state of mind. It is a condition of mind. Men educate themselves to get a condition of mind, to where they can manipulate, to where they can be brilliant, to where they can control and get a hold of all the money, powers of the world. It is a condition of mind. And so they continue to excel. One becomes a doctor. One becomes a dentist. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he has the knowledge of a dentist, then he is a dentist. If he has the knowledge of a doctor, he is a doctor. If he has the knowledge of a mechanic, he is a mechanic. If he has the knowledge of a Christian, he is a Christian. So, in this particular place, when Jesus met the man coming out of the tombs, he conquered him because of the state of mind. The state of mind. Then he says to you and I, let the same mind be in you. I have all power, he said, over the flesh. I thank thee, Father, because thou hast given me all power over all flesh. And he said, I give unto you the same mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was humble. He didn't try to make of himself a reputation, but he said, with this mind, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. As you think in your heart, with the heart you believe, and believing is a constitution of thoughts as to thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And here's the man coming out of the tombs. This man thought different. This man thought, I can break chains. I wonder what you would do if you had a few shackles around you. I wonder what you would do with chains. But see, this man had a condition of mind that he roared and he just felt like he could pop chains. And the Bible said they couldn't bind him. No, not even with chains. And he burst them asunder. See, your mind, your thinking, this is what you're controlled by today. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm wrestling against spiritual powers, wicked powers that's in high places. That is, they're in the elevated places of life as of the transformation. And they've moved into those great dimensions. Did you know that the devil just kind of laughs at the church world? The devils and the demons up here, they're such a great light above the children of God. When we've got the light, we've got the eternal light as to understanding the mind of God. And we have it, we do nothing with it. We don't enlarge upon, we don't study. The Bible said study to show yourself approved. We don't do that. And the Bible said because of this, that the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They utilize their ability. They enlarge upon it. And you are in captivity to their system
and to their way of life. And they've got you under their control. And you can't do anything about it. Not a thing. The sheriff can just walk out of here. And he walks out of here, you just begin to shudder. He'll say, you're going to jail. You can't do nothing. Oh, somebody said it's his gun. It ain't his gun. He could come out here without a gun. You'd still do the same thing. It's the system. You're under the control of the system. You know that if you don't do that, it's really going to get you into trouble. They let a man out of jail. They give him his freedom. Somebody posted a bond. Why, he could skip the country. But as a usual rule, he doesn't do that. He fears the system. Because the system is here and the system's over there, he wants to get the thing off of his back. He can't rest. It is a state of mind that you're in. That judge judges because he is a judge. He has a judge mind. So we see that the important thing is coming into the great light of God and exercising this ability and transforming into greater dimensions with God, going into greater places of power, going on to the full measure of the full stature as to what the Bible terms a full reward. We're moving on into this light to light. The church, the devils just laugh at them because they see them in such a state of infancy. They see the church down there. And the devils up here, they know how to manipulate. They know how to work things. See, and they see the church playing with balls. Football, volleyball. Playing around with some kind of a ball game. Got some little old something stuck over in the corner. Called a television, and they're just gazing until they put their eyes out. Day and night, they eat this stuff like slop. Swine, Jesus said they are. Dogs, he said they are. Lapping their own vomit. You see somebody sitting looking at television. Out here in Hollywood, a few of those people out there are paid to make the bowl of vomit. And then they pour it out to you and you sit there and lap your own vomit. That is, as to a human vomit. And you go through all of that kind of stuff. See, and the devils and demons are just making mock of you. Just making mock. All them people over there in the land of Gadara, they couldn't do nothing with that man. They were afraid of him. One man walked up. One man. Somebody said, yes, but that was God. That's what I'm talking about. We're the light of the world. One man walked up. And that stopped the whole situation. One man that had a... He was a man. The Bible said he was a man, Christ Jesus. He had applied himself. He had given himself to God. Somebody said, yeah, but. No, there's no buts about it. Samson was a man. Let's just prove it by Samson. If you think we said Jesus was God, he can't prove it. Let's go back to Samson. Here is a man. A man that can face a lion. And his strength is so great. And somebody said, big muscles. No pumping of steel. That was something that was great. He had a mind. Somebody said, that was the presence of God. I know it was. But you show me God. Show me God. Where was God when we was tearing that line apart? That was Samson's hands. Where was God? Where is God? Show me God. God is in you. You're the only image and form there is of God. God is the great light. God is the spirit. You don't see any form of God. You don't see any image of God. No man has ever seen God at any time. No man. Because there's only one image of God. That's Jesus. And the Bible said he is the given, or it's called the express image of God. Just like you'd send something by express, God expressed himself through Jesus. He was the declaration of God. This thing about three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three forms, ain't no such thing. One God, Jesus is that God. I tell you this again, I've told you a lot of times. They say three gods, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all these three gods are equal, they say. Co-equal, they say. That's because of their ignorance. They don't understand. Jesus said, when I made the heavens, there wasn't nobody to help me. He said, where was you when I made the heavens? He said, I did it all by myself. He said, no one helped me. He said, I stretched out the heavens by myself. I did it all by myself. The Bible said in the beginning, God said, let there be. It didn't say God's, plural, said, let there be. He said, God said, let there be, and there was. And he stretched out the heavens. He said, who is my equal? You talk about a co-equal? That's ignorance. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Jesus said, who is my equal? I don't know of anyone. I don't know of nobody that's my equal. Say, three gods co-equal? I don't know of anybody that's my equal. Who is my equal? That's the question he asked. How do you understand what I'm saying? So this great mind of God, I can have this mind of God. Now, I know that we have this mind by measure because we don't apply ourselves. We don't go into the full measure. We don't go into the full reward. We don't go on to be perfect. But the Bible said every man that be perfect shall be as his master. He said to the disciples, when I sit upon my thrones, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones. And he spoke of all the others, some over 10 cities, some over 5 cities, judging. And the Bible speaks of those kings coming in from that earth, coming into this great city, throwing their crowns down at the feet of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Think, we're his bride. We're one with him. A woman that's a true wife to the husband, she's the bride. She's one with her husband. God said, and they shall no longer be twain, but one, even one flesh. That this is a mystery concerning the church, that the church is no longer twain. We are members of his body, which means we're one. As he is, so are we in him. And Christ is in that great light, that great light. And we say again, what is that light? Understanding. Understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Solomon said, an understanding heart, comprehending the light, the light, the light. As to what? As to the heights of it. To the heights of it. How great is this light? How far does it reach? Scientists are still trying to comprehend as what they term to be the celestial. In the natural out there. Whereas the Bible said that'll pass away. But see this great light. Comprehending that light. Comprehending that light. Comprehending that light. See, going into greater dimensions. More and more power with God. More understanding. More revelation. I have a continual feast within my heart. I have a continual feast because I have a merry heart. Because this light is ever expanding. I ever enjoy it. I'm always seeing heavenly things. Great, mighty heavenly things. I wish, I tell the brethren this sometimes, I wish I could detail to you. Even to my wife, I wish I could detail to her. These great, marvelous things that I see. That is in this light. Like in the vision when I saw all these great things taking place in heaven. Where is heaven? It's the Spirit. God is everything. God is a Spirit. And the Spirit is everything. And out of the Spirit comes everything. Out of the Spirit comes this little thing that you place all the value on. The little atomic particles that's going to be burned back to ashes. You place a lot of value on it. Your evaluation is not proper. It's improper evaluation. You place the greater emphasis on the things of less value. You are perverted. You've got to be converted. As to the garden, you went into that lesser light, that lesser world. You went into darkness, and you've got to come out of that darkness into this light. You've got to come out of that darkness. You're going to move by shade to shade to shade as to brightness. All that is, you're going to move from dimension to dimension, as in school. They have it where they teach that you go from one power to another power when you use your numerical order. See, you're moving from one power to another power. That is to a greater power as you excel in your figuring, as your comprehension comes as to your formulated way of life, as to formulas in colleges or whatever. You know, like determining what water is made of or what a certain thing is made of. And they give it a little formula and they determine how many atomic particles is in it. How many atoms does it have? As of this kind or that kind or whatever. And they may say H2O or whatever. See, as to hydrogen, as to atoms, or whatever it might be. A little formula. See, and that way they comprehend it. And that way they put it together. And that way they figure. And that way they excel. And they keep unlocking mysteries. Mysteries. More mysteries out of the numerical, by numerical order. Going as Einstein into the field of numerical order. Understanding those things. But folks, we don't have to do that. That's like a baby playing with a rattler or with a toy. We have faith in God and we transformate from faith to faith, from understanding to understanding, from enlightenment to another enlightenment, from this day star, because I have the kingdom of God on the inside of me. I'm not in the world. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, now just look around. There's the tree. You've got to admit you see it. I sure do. I sure do. I see it. You got to admit you see all these other things. I sure do. I look all around. I see it. But the thing is, if that has anything to do with it, why did Jesus, who also saw the same things, stand before Nicodemus, a great ruler, and say, I'm in heaven? How do you do it, son? Well, he wasn't there. How was it he walked through the wall? He must have been somewhere. How is it he appeared with Moses and Elijah? Somebody said, well, he was in heaven. He was on the mountain, the Bible said. I've been up on the same mountain. Now, why didn't it happen to me up there like it happened to Jesus? I was standing on the same mountain, and I never did find Moses and Elijah. You know why that Jesus said that to Nicodemus? Because he was in heaven. He said, you are of the earth, and you are earthy. You came from the dust, and to the dust thou shalt return. He said, I didn't come from the dust. I came from heaven. Folks, I didn't come from the dust. I came from heaven. Jesus said, I came from heaven. And he said, and you're going to go back to the dust, and I'm going to go back to heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, no man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man. He said, the same one that came down from heaven. And he said, who is in heaven? That's why the Bible said, ye are not of this world. I have chosen you out of this world. And I have hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And he said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. For you're sitting together in the heavenly places. And they're all taught of God. Said, and they shall all be taught of God. For it shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking from within them. So then you're in heaven, and God is speaking to you, and God's telling you these things. Oh my God, somebody says, Brother Pike, we're just natural folks. We're just sitting down here, and we're listening to a natural man. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them that are in heaven that's listening to God. Let's give the Lord a hand. You folks belong to the world, and the world belongs to you, and the world passes away, and so do you. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, for heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away, because in the beginning was the word that made the world. Or in the beginning was the word which was God when there was no world. And if you're part of the world, part of the word, you can't pass away. But the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then I said that to say this. If he hath chosen me out of the world, then how am I in the world? Oh, somebody said, but I'm looking at you, Brother Pike. Well, you're setting up with the dead. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said, consider yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're buried with Christ in baptism. And the world is dead to me by the body of Christ, and I'm dead to the world. Isn't that right? We don't want to be a grave robber. And the Bible said, you're not to know any man after the flesh. And if you're seeing me, then that means you're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, that means you can't please God. And if you can't please God, it's because you don't have faith, because the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. And without faith, you can't be translated, which means you're still in the world. You're still a bond child. You're still a bastard child. Let's give him another hand. So then when we talk about God, we talk about the great things of God, it's no wonder that the devils make fun or the demons make fun of the church world. They don't go on to know God. They don't move on into the things of God. They don't take advantage of the things of God. The Lord said, behold, I give unto you power, not only to be witnesses, but power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. These things will fall all around your door, never come near your dwelling. All right. So the writer here, he said, I saw till there wasn't a man to inhabit the cities. I saw them waste, John said, I saw them crumble to the ground. What are we going to do then? See, so we are not in the flesh. We're chosen out of the world. How is it that we are naturally looking at one another and standing here in the world, and yet we're not in the world? It's because the world is in your heart. When he chose me out of the world, he took the world out of my heart. The Bible said he hath placed the world within your heart. So then the world is within your heart. Jesus walked through the wall because the world wasn't in his heart. Heaven was in his heart. When God took the world out of me, he put the kingdom of God within me, which is the heavenly world. And today there is a heavenly world on the inside of me. It's my mind as a man thinketh. It's my spirit. It's the spirit of God on the inside of me. My inner spirit only tabernacles in this little body of clay. And the Bible said, as we've borne the image of the earthly as to the first man Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly as to the second man Adam. If this house be dissolved as to this little tabernacle right here, if it be condemned as in the Old Testament when the plague was found, that is by the priest, then I have another tabernacle. It's called a mansion. For in my Father's house, the Bible said, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. In my Father's house are many mansions. That is the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. My angelic being moves out of this little house of clay and it moves into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the Father's house? The Bible said the fullness of God was in Jesus. So Jesus was the Father's house. The Father who is the Spirit tabernacled in Jesus. And the Bible said not by measure, the fullness of God was there. Everything that he sees through the blood because he's inside of Jesus. That's the only form he's got. The only world I have is on the inside of me. My angelic being, the only house it has, the only body it has, is the members, the natural members. So as to my natural birth, as to my natural life, it tabernacles in this natural body. But when Christ comes on the inside of me, then my blood becomes royal blood. Because if it took my life, which came from my Father, as to his Spirit, to make this body, then when the Spirit of God comes inside of me, as to the seed of Christ, gets on the inside of me, then that life, as my Father's life made this blood, so does my Heavenly Father's life make royal blood. And the royal life, even eternal life, is within the royal blood. And the royal blood, just as my natural blood made these natural genetics, so does my royal blood make heavenly genetics as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then we're back where we started. The heart, he that hath a merry heart, he hath God. If you don't have God, you don't have a merry heart. But he that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. The wine maketh the heart merry. And this is the new wine. This is the new wine. That's why they accused them on the day of Pentecost of being drunk off of the new wine. So let me say this in closing. When I look at the light of the world, they're on the other side of Calvary. It's an intellectual light. It hath no glory. Though it glitters, though you can roll down the streets of New York and see the beautiful colors of the light flashing like the rainbow, the sparkle of the glistening of the clothing that they wear as to stardom, all these kind of things, celebrities, dignitaries, royalty, all of this is a great light. It's a knowledge, an intellectual knowledge, and it's a great system, and it's a great world. But it's beggarly elements, Paul said, compared to the heavenly life. So this temporal life and all of the sparkle of that passeth away. See, because that is beyond Calvary. It is within the veil of the intellectual reasoning. Therefore, it hath no light in that this light of this world that we dwell in so excels. It is so excelling that the royalty and the greatness of that world, Paul said, I've been caught up into the third heaven, he said. And he said, I tell you folks, these beggarly elements, he said, these are beggarly elements. You ought to see what I've got. Somebody says, look at my brand new Chevrolet. Somebody says, it ain't nothing. You ought to see my Rolls Royce. See, the thing is, the heavenly inheritance. You are heavenly children. You have an heavenly inheritance. You've inherited heavenly things. But flesh and blood cannot inherit spiritual things as to the kingdom of God. But spirit inherits spirit. And if you have Christ as spirit, then he is heir to the glory. No one that's heir to the glory but Christ. For the Bible said it's not as unto seeds of many, but as of seeds unto one and unto thy seed, even Isaac, even Jesus. And he alone pleased the Father. And we must be part of his body, part of his family, as to his membership. That it is Christ within you, the hope of that glory, because he's the only heir to that glory. So then we have an inheritance to inherit Christ on the inside, to inherit all that the Father hath. He said, I have given unto thee. So limiting the unlimited,
it displeased God. He swallowed them up in the Old Testament. And when we look back at that light, the veil of that light, what was it that Moses saw? The Bible said he saw the hind part of God. He said, "You can't see my face, Moses, and live." So he said, "I'll let you see the hind part." And the hind part means from Calvary all the way back. That's the veil. That's the hind part. And so Moses saw the creation and wrote about the Garden of Eden while he was on the mountain. But see, I'm not just seeing the hind part. I'm not seeing the hind part. The Bible said, "And we shall see face to face, and we shall know as we are known." Paul said, "As to the hind part, we see through a glass darkly." That is this veil as to that being over Rebekah's face of the shamefacedness, which veil was removed in the secret chambers as to the marriage, as to reveal the beauty of the woman. So, beholding as in a mirror, looking into his face, as with open face, we are changed from glory to glory into the lovely image of our Savior, even Jesus, the Son of God. So then we are believing, we are not within the veil, but the veil is rent at Calvary. And all of the inheritance that was given me in God by predestination before the world ever was came to light, the Bible says. And down through the church ages, it's been taught to the church that we might comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width of this great, wonderful thing that God has given us in Christ, even eternal riches and eternal life, as to an inheritance. So the veil is taken away. Now I see him face to face. So I'm on this side of Calvary, and I'm not seeing the hind part, but I am seeing the light. The veil is now gone. I'm not looking through a glass darkly. I see through the eyes of my understanding this great light. Paul saw it as to a natural light. It blinded him. Then when he got to the spiritual light, it transformed his mind till he went into heaven. It transformed John until he went into heaven. It transformed Enoch until he went into heaven. It transformed Elijah and even Moses until they appeared in glory. Transformed Jesus' mind until he stood in the glory world. And where is the church today? They're in glory. Somebody said, "I'm waiting for the rapture." This is the rapture. That's what the rapture is. You're looking for something natural. All things remain the same as when the fathers fell asleep. But folks, I can tell you it ain't the same at all. There's a rapture that's been taking place. There's a translation that's been taking place. There's a transformation that's been taking place. And we're on the verge of a transfiguration as to people seeing what we have already received. Well, let's stand together. We sing that song, "And time shall be no more, no more, no more." When you come into the other world, you are not a time creature. You are not in the world. Like the vision I had the other night when I was standing over in the millennium. And there I stood over in the millennium. And there stood those that believed with me. They had passed over into the millennium. We had defeated Lucifer. The world had been burned. I saw him defeated. I saw the world burn. And I saw the millennium come in. And there we were, over in the millennium. I believe that that's what he meant when he said, "Ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. And I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, till the restoring of all things." Or that is to say, getting over the Jordan of the old carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death. To go into the Canaan of the mind of Christ where the fruits are, the fruits of the Spirit, the great fruits of God. As to believe, to pass over the Jordan, you pass from death unto life. And you shall never come into condemnation. And as to being raptured, caught up, as it was with Enoch when he rode through the air by faith, under the anointing of the Spirit, to be caught up to Thessalonians chains in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and then being caught up. Brethren, the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. but he should not see death. I was translated by faith that I should not see death. That's how I pass from death unto life, because the flesh profiteth nothing. I don't know anybody after the flesh. It's the angelic being on the inside that it will never be separated from God, the great light or life of the innermost. From the dust the body is, to the dust it shall return, lest we go through the transfiguration. But there's a translation, there's a transformation, and then there's a transfiguration. And the transformation is the result of the translation. The translation is of the spirit, the angelic being. For God hath translated me, my angelic being, into the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Men press their way into it, and they are translated into it, and the kingdom is within them. And the prayer is, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what the church is trying to do. And that's why it gives the proclamation as to say, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At the ultimatum, coming into Daniel's last week. So then, I am raptured. How am I raptured? I am raptured after I am translated. That is, after I am transfigured. So you that are getting in the rapture and waiting on the rapture, you might be late. There ain't going to be no rapture unless there's a translation first. So in my spirit, as to my inner man, my angelic being, God is a spirit. He's let me dwell in this little house of clay. Inside, I've been translated into the oneness of Christ, his spirit, to the God mind. As to whatever measure I allow myself to be, that I will transformate into. So I've been by new birth, by his own works, by faith, translated in my spiritual being that I should never see death. I never die. I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys to death and to hell. Jesus said that in that he had given the keys to the kingdom to Peter and to the church. The church has the keys to the kingdom. So, the kingdom is just filled with all kind of spiritual rubies, diamonds, pearls, wealth, glories, youth, strength, majesties, powers and authorities. So within my inner man, once I was translated as to my angelic being, it made way for a transformation. As to an instant birth, I was translated, and the man-child, my inner man, was caught up to the kingdom to rule with a rod of iron, even the word of God, even the mind of Christ. That is caught up to the kingdom within me as my spirit translated into the spirit of Christ as to a oneness, to become interwoven with that life. And then from that, there came a transformation. And that transformation has been a graduality. I've gradually transformated from glory to glory in my mind, from my thinking to the mind of the Lord Jesus. As to whatever measure I desire, as to my conformity, as to my surrender, as to my submission. And then as to the education, whether it be grammar school or high school or on to college. And so then in this, I have come to a great transformation of that life. Now, as a result of the transformation, I will experience a transfiguration. Because as of the translation, I experienced a transformation. As of the transformation, I will experience a transfiguration. As to the translation of my spirit, as to the transformation of my mind, as to my soul, and as to the transfiguration of my bodily image, that is the rapture. That's why we say the blood applied in Egypt as to the type over the Red Sea, as to Calvary and the spilling of the blood. And through the wilderness as to the transformating of the mind among the devils and demons, differentiating as to what's right and putting out the bad, eradicating the evil, and then over the Jordan as to the carnal mind's death, into the Canaan as to a transfiguration, or that is to experience the fact that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then the preacher is there
to perfect your faith. He is there to reveal to you the hidden mysteries and to perfect your faith, that your faith may become perfect and that it might change you in a transfiguration in the moment, as to a twinkling of an eye, according to Paul's teaching, that you can then be caught up, raptured. Means caught up. So that you can then be caught up. For the Bible said we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Then we'll be caught up to be with him. We'll meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort ye one another with these words, he said. But folks, I'm telling you again, a lot of things misconstrued. The person that graduates from school, there's a big to-do. The scholarships are all there to be passed out. But there's been a lot of weary days and study. There's been a lot of submission and conformity before they can reach over and take that diploma. That's the change of their life. And that's where the church is missing it. They don't understand. They just don't understand. They're not applying themselves. And while they play around with ball games and pool rooms and talking about the rapture and eating and drinking and being Mr. Prestige or having some position in life, or all these other things of building homes and having lands and houses, when the Bible says there's no time to build houses, plant vineyards. While they're doing all these things, the devil's just having a field day. And the church is doing nothing but rotting in their bellies, in their lungs, in their whole entire body. They're dying, wrecked. The wrath of God upon them because they don't go on to apply themselves. The leaders playing games with them. People talking about being called to preach. Playing games with them like a bunch of kids. And the blind's leading the blind. They all falling into the ditch. That is to say, the hospitals are overrun with what are supposed to be saints of God. Even the prisons are overrun with the saints of God's children and some saints of God. People that one time knew of God. And the whole world is dying and perishing and turning into harlots and thieves and rogues. And they're under oppression. The Bible said, ye say that you're rich with your fine church, your great steeples, with your monetary values. Ye say that you're rich and have need of nothing, that you're all Christian and God loves you in your charismatic order, in your foolishness. He said, but I say that you're blind. You need leadership. You need God. You need to wake up, church. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. And he said, I say unto you that you are blind. And you are wretched. Not righteous. But he said wretched. He said, and you are naked. You have a covering, but it's not of me. It's not the Shekinah light of God. As to the covering of your soul, as to the understanding of godliness and of virtue. But you've got the old thing that Adam and Eve got when they said we're naked and they felt ugly and they felt degraded. And the Lord said, where did this knowledge come from? Who told you that? Who put that into your mind? They'd not been like that before. It was a mind. So then he said, I counsel of you to buy of me the raiment that's tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's been tried in the fire. Passed through the flames of hell for us. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's why they sold all they had. That's why they did what they did. Because they found this light. And the Bible said when you find this pearl of great price, you'll sell all that you've got. Somebody says, oh no, not me. I'll guarantee you there's not a living human being that'll ever find this pearl of great price. But what they won't sell all. When they found just the synagogues in the days of the Jews, they were willing to give up their life rather than to be excommunicated by the brotherhood as to be put out of the synagogue. And folks, when you come to this message as to the real, genuine understanding, and you get your eyes open, you would die before you'd separate from the brotherhood or leave this or go back to your old wormy way of life where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. God said, thou worm Jacob, I'll help thee.
the old cocoon stages, going through the metamorphosis, coming out of the old worm, the old cocoon stage, to spread those lovely wings of that butterfly and to be lofty and to be able to fly around to the beautiful flowers. So, something is taking place. Great and mighty things is taking place every day, but they're in the Spirit. As I said, do you see those things in heaven? All of these things I speak of are in heaven. Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. Great and mighty things. My heart, there is a continual feast. He that is born of God keepeth himself. The evil one toucheth him not. He is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And Christ said, I'll come back after that church. It is only when we come into the knowledge of these things that we are thus complete in our believing, which is faith, because you cannot believe that you do not know. And when you are told, you're all taught of God, then you are told and then you believe, and that is faith. And that sanctifies you, and the Spirit of God, eternal life, comes into your heart and seals you unto the change of your body, until the day of the change. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, unto the day of the change. That is, Christ, whose Spirit seals you until the day of the bodily redemption, which is the bar mitzvah. Coming to the bar mitzvah, as to wit, the adoption. For I tell you again, the body must be adopted. It cannot be born again. Don't be foolish. Don't do like the church world. Don't stand around waiting for a birth of the body. It won't ever come. The body, it is alienated from the things of God, but the blindness of the heart is through the first man, Adam. And it must be adopted. Adopted. You may have one son born into the family, a daughter born into the family. You may get another by adoption. You have to go through the law. When the Jews went out of the presence of God, it indicated the rejection as to the first man, Adam, as the darkness. But if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead as to the resurrection? As to the change, which means the adoption. Coming to the place to wit the adoption, learning more and more. And finally we said we don't have to die. Time is gone. We don't have to die. We pass from death unto life. To wit the adoption. That we might not go into the sleep as to the body. Behold, a mystery I show you. Shall not sleep. Jesus awoke Lazarus. He was asleep. So death is to be separated as to the angelic being from God the Spirit. As to spirit from spirit. And death is to go into the lake of fire. Call the second death as to the death of the soul, and we pass from death unto life. That is, our soul, our spirit is passed from death. It'll never be separated from God. It'll never go into the lake of fire. So, we'll rule and reign 1,000 years with Christ, and the wicked dead shall not live again until after the 1,000 years to be put into the lake of fire, after standing before the great white throne of judgment. But in that time is no more, then that means that we are dead. Because time is only no more to dead folks. When you die, time is no more. You know nothing of time anymore. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the world and unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the life that you had, you lost it through sin. And the life now you have is not temporal but eternal. The life I now live is the life of the Son of God. I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You lost your first images to the bastard child image. It's gone. It's passed away. And with that, the world passed away because it was an inhabitant of that world. You are now a new creature. The Bible said old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, and we are in a new world. So as to the angelic, the inner man, keeping under the body, mortifying the deeds of the body, equipping yourself with the mind to suffer as to the mind of Christ, which was a suffering mind. To put away the body and the bastard child image that we might come into the change of this glorious celestial light from glory to glory. Time shall be no more. Calvary has come. The veil has been rent. It's all gone. The world has passed away. But as to acknowledge the redemption, as to wit, as to the adoption, as of the body, as to the image, as to the chains, that must be under the law. When the Jews come, as the coming of the Jews, so comes the natural Jesus, and the natural body that's been missing will show up. As to a natural head, so will there be natural members. As to the natural members of a natural Jew to a natural head, so is the spiritual Jew as to the inner one to the spiritual Christ, which is the spiritual Jew head. The life will go into the body. It's absent from the body right now. The rent veil is to the body from the spirit. And Christ made within himself twain, and the veil was rent in twain, even the temple. The Bible said, is in his body, making a more sure way as to an open door by the keys that Peter had that we see in Revelation later as the doors open in heaven. Even Christ, who is the door, as through the Word, going through the Word as to the mind, as to the translation into the Spirit. He is the door as to the Word. So, we see that there is a door open in heaven, as the Bible said. And a voice says, come up into heaven, John. And so he went into it as to the church. I heard that voice, I went up into heaven. And I'm not of this world, he chose me out of this world. And I'm not in the flesh. Else I could not please God. But he chose me out of the flesh, and he buried my flesh in a watery grave. And I lost my identity as who I was, and now I am as he is, so am I in him. As to his identity, I'm called Christ or the Christian, Christ-like. And I've taken on his name and his identity as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to be one, as to be Jesus. Not me, but him living, Paul said. And the life I now live is his life. So in this, old things have passed away, and I'm in a new world. Calvary, the veil passed away. This is a new world. All down through the church ages, it took that long for the people to comprehend that this is a new world. And as to B.C. and A.D., the time changed, and the time passed away. So in that the veil is rent, now heaven is in view. For as in the book of Revelation, when the Bible said, and the thunderings and the lightnings was in the temple, and no man could enter into the temple. And it said it was the ark of the temple, of the testimony, of the tabernacle. That is to say, as the book of Revelation, when they looked in and saw this ark, as to they were only seeing the rent veil of Jesus' body, the Bible said, within the flesh, making himself twain, both the Lord and Christ, separating the spirit from the body, the angel from the body, to show our body dead by his body, and our spirit in heaven as his spirit went into the presence of God. So the temple of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the old tent, and the temple, there was the holy place on the inside as to the temple. And as to the most holy place, as to the holies of holies, in that same little holy place, blocked off by some curtains and about a 10 by 10. Behind those curtains sat the Ark of the Covenant. Behind those curtains where the covering cherubs was, and the beaten work of gold, and the blood on the seat of atonement. In front of that was the little golden altar. Outside was the big brazen altar in the outer courts. And the lava. And over in Revelation we see it as the lava. We see the sea. The crystal sea. That's what the lava represented. Where the saints are standing. And we see the big brazen altar. As in the outer courts. Which is the Lord Jesus. The fire of the consummation. As to where the fire never went out. God is a continual burning indignation against evil. And as to the Lamb of the evening time. Jesus. As in the evening time of life. And as the brazen altar, so he was lifted up as the brazen serpent in the wilderness to show the evening time as to the sacrifice for our sins. As to Aaron going into the holies of holies, we see it clearly as Christ ascended into heaven. We see him coming back on the day of Pentecost as coming back out of the holies of holies to those as to the quick coming. And as those, I spoke of it, whereas the Bible said if the priest tarried long, it was the wrath of God upon the people. He returned quick to the church, come into our heart, accused them of being drunk on new wine, said, I'll drink this anew with you in the kingdom of God that is within the heart. But the others, he hasn't returned to them. He's tarrying along as the priest. That means wrath upon the people.
One day he'll break the heavens, he'll come back, there'll be a change, there'll be an adoption. So the temple of the testimony of the tabernacle was open, the rent veil of Calvary. As to the natural, there was a tabernacle. As to the physical, there was a body. Peter said, in this tabernacle. As to the spiritual, there's a heavenly tabernacle, another one eternal. The heavens not made with hands, as seen in Revelation. So then, the veil has been rent in twain. But when the body comes in view, when it comes into view, as to the transfiguration, then it'll be through the law. For you adopt a child through the law, and the body must yet be adopted. That's why the Bible said, save yourselves from this underworld generation. If you want to live with these parents, you can. And it gives you your chance. As to the inner man, you are a spiritual being, a child that's born of God. As to the outer man, you're born to the first man, Adam. And you must fulfill the law before the body can be changed. And the only way to fulfill the law, the Bible said, in no flesh shall be justified by the law. So we fulfill the law through Christ. As to the love of God that constrains me. And Paul said, and this is the fulfillment of the law. And all of the law and the prophets hang on this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Upon this hangs all the law and the prophets. So in this one word, as we would say, as to love, the law is fulfilled within you, which brings you to the adoption. When you're preached to, taught this, to be brought to the bar mitzvah, as to the things that's necessary to tell you, to the transformation of mind, then comes that great moment that they call the rapture. The church is getting ready. The king of the north is on his way. Israel is awakening. Nations are breaking. The signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. The Bible said, return to your own Israel. So, right at this point, it means that the bodily bar mitzvah, the changes to the adoption, it's on its way, because when the Jews come back into power, it brings the law back into power to God. And God accepts the Jews as to the Kalah, part of demise, to the red ashes of the red heifer, as to the redemption taught in Paul's teaching, as to the revelation, as pointing to the blood, brings it in, as to the tabernacle being brought back up, as to the Jew, as to the body, as to the chains, as to the rapture, as to the translation, as to a new world, as to recognition. But folks, time was no more at Calvary. That ended it. We already have went down that long, long trail. We already are not to be. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God, John said. It just does not yet appear what you shall be like, in that the change of the body as to the bar mitzvah. You've not witted the redemption yet. So, it's so wonderful to know. It's so wonderful to be there. It's so wonderful, like Paul, to go right on into heaven, like John, like Elijah, like Enoch, like the others, like Jesus, completed his course, walked right into glory, to say, you don't have to sleep. You just don't understand the mystery. You just come from the cradle, from the manger, by the way of the cross, right on into glory. That's why I died. So he come back off the mountain and died so that you wouldn't have to die, so that you could just walk on up the mountain. As to the change, the mystery, don't have to sleep. Canst thou believe? If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. But Enoch was translated by faith to the change of the body, that he should not see death. So the tutoring is to do away with the world. The Word, as to the mind of God, spoke the world into existence. How did he do it? By allowing a dark veil, a dark intellectual veil. The Bible said, God, who is light, veiled himself in darkness, because the people could not look upon the great light. They had to put the veil over Moses' face. That veil was the body of Jesus. That veil was rent in twain. As to the temple of God, his body, the temples of God, that's what you are, your body. And the veil was rent in twain to let the light shine throughout all the world, but to let it come dimensionally as to measures from church age to church age, from messenger to messenger, as to church messenger. As to proportion, as to proportion, as to the end, that it might be a sevenfold light. Sevenfold, the Bible said, the light shall be in that day. At the end of the church ages, he stood in the midst of the candlesticks. And it was a sevenfold candlestick as to light. That's what these candlesticks have to do with you. So, the full measure of the full light, of the full glory, as to the translating of that great light, as to the dissipation of this body. So then, he gathered all things into the ark, and then the rain came. All things. For the Bible said Jesus' blood took away the sins of the world. That's how the creeping things got into the bottom of the ark. It was the mercy of Noah. And that's how the walking things got into the middle level of the ark of Noah. And that's how the flying heavenly things representing the saints that got into the lofty part of the body of Noah. And the Bible said this is as the waters of Noah to me, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, pitched on the inside and pitched on the outside in the likeness of Almighty God to seal out the world. And as we said, the raven today has found a place to eat on the old dead carcasses. And the spirit of Satan went out at Calvary. It went out because he gathered everything into the ark. And as his body being made sin, that took under his control us into the ark, which says into our body infiltrated the image of Adam. He defeated the raven. He defeated Lucifer. And he turned him loose at the resurrection through grace, as to the blood that took away the sins of the world. That all, even the wicked, might have a chance for repentance. And Satan's out there eating on the old dead carcasses that's floating around. Waters likened unto people. People likened unto waters in the book of Revelation. Many waters. His voice is many waters. But the dove couldn't find any place. So it went back into the ark. And folks, it's still in the ark. And I'm that ark. And you're that ark. And that dove is still on the inside. Satan was driven out. Cast out of heaven. Woe unto them that are in the body. Or the world. When grace is over, the blood come off the seat of atonement. We're riding over the tribulation of those period as to Daniel's last day. I'm going to land in that millennium Ichunda. We're going to come right down, and then the hearts, as to the spirit of his mind and this angelic being, will have the freedom in the body once again to do what it wants to in the body. There won't be anything to aggravate it as to suppressing the body or the mind or causing it to lust or fight with thoughts, contrariness, fears, weariness, whatever. Because the man-child has been caught up to the throne. The devil has been cast out. I saw him in a vision defeated. I saw the millennium coming in. And now has come power. Because the saints of God are learning who they are and what they are. And that nothing, 10 million worlds can't change it. They are sons of God, not by works of righteousness as to their own doings, which would be filthy rags, but rather by the predestinated work of Christ Jesus. As he is, so are we in him. Sanctified once and for all. Glorified, the Bible said, he hath perfected forever and glorified us, as well as justified us and sanctified us. And that's another sermon altogether. But I'm just saying this. Time got its start because the light went into the dark veil. And it's been ever since Calvary. And it's been one day and 2 days. And the time was reckoned from evening until morning, because when man fell into the darkness of the mind of Lucifer, from the tree of knowledge, it's been dark ever since, folks. In darkness, they veil themselves with darkness. But Calvary, the rent veil, the light has broke forth now. And now the morning is here. And he's about to reveal himself to despise the image of the bastard child that didn't go through the chains to be born again as to the body of his beloved son Jesus. But rather as the first man Adam, as to Eve, Adam showed Eve the weakness. As to the whorish thing, the image that he destroyed at Calvary to do away with the whorish Eve, that he might bring forth the male as to Christ, even the image that was lost through the fall because of the woman's rebellion. So, I'm just saying that we're in the end of the world.
And now the light is coming out of the veil. It's coming out of the veil. The old intellectual, no more. It is the unveiled, revelational mind of Christ. In the beginning, the spoken word, as it was with Brother Branham. In the end, the revelation as the unveiled or the revealed. Pillar of fire by night, but I saw it as a cloud by day. So, that means at times no more, because when the darkness went away, it's no more. Time comes, I tell you again, from the little thing that they put on the ground in the beginning. When they put the little dial in the middle. And when the sun, as it moved, the shadow followed. Wherever the shadow went, it was thus and thus. As to division or dividing a day into parts. As to 1 hour and 2 hours. And where there's no shadow, there's no time. So when the light receded, the world came into existence. It is a shadow of that which is to come. It is Lucifer. It is a lying vanity. It appears to be and is not even riches that make themselves wings and fly away when they appear to be and they are not. So all is vanity, the preacher said. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So then the spirit is life. For the Bible said that which is was made by that which is not. That is, that you cannot see. For the things that are not made by things which do appear, but rather by things which do not appear. So all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. And if the veil be gone, then it is the eradication as the sun that strikes the snow, and it melts away, and then the undergrowth is seen. So time is no more, because shadows went away at Calvary. And the shadow that was in front of you, things reversed. Now you say, Satan, get thee behind me. It's all because of Calvary. It's behind us. And we're looking at the great light. We're not looking at a glass darkly or through a glass darkly, nor seeing behind the part. We are in heaven. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the rapture. You missed it. You missed it. So, the change, the bar mitzvah, as to the law, as to the establishing the last week of Daniel, the kalah part of tomorrow, the many things that we'd have to go back into, you've got some of it on tape. The church is all sealed in. She's gone. While people are still playing church, still waiting on some religious formality that'll take place. Some would say, well, what's going to happen to them? If they're true believers, they'll pass right on through the tribulation. It doesn't have anything to do with translation. The Bible said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth, that God will grant repentance unto life. To them that are without, pray for them. Pray for your loved ones. We're intercessors, a royal priesthood, the body of the Lord. And we're now on this side of Calvary, in the heavenlies. And the church, all they have to do is comprehend the highest. That's the way they translate. It's the angelic being. That's the rapture. Comprehending as the preacher preaches, and yet not him, but God speaking to them all. And they're comprehending as Jacob's ladder going back to Bethel, the covenant. So that means at times no more. And I know you look at me, a lot of you, as to say, Brother Pike, I know what you're saying. It sounds good. But we know, you know, that we're supposed to say that, and we're supposed to think that, but that's not really like it is. You know, time is still here, and all these things in the world are still here, but we know it's like you said, because we believe it. You know, that's what we think. No, it's not like that at all. As to childish play and childish gesture, time is gone. There ain't no more time. Time is only in existence for them that are without the light and them that are still in the veil of the intellectual definition of the things of God, as to shadows and types and figures, looking through a glass darkly. But with God, there is no days. There never was days. He's called the Ancient of Days only because of the shadows. But yesterday, there is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. I've said before, follow the sun around the earth. It never sets. There is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. There's only today. God is, He was, He shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting, so He is. So as I said, I don't have to wreck my brain in trying to figure out how many billions of years He was back yonder doing billions of things back in the billions of years before He ever done this little minor thing called earth. Because there never was no such thing as billions of years and billions of, you know, like light years. Scientists say light years, they sum up so many to make a light year. There never was no such thing as time. There is no such thing as time. God is right now bright and brilliant, alive forevermore. It is His eternal world, and we are of that eternal existence. And He's here. Somebody said, but what about all of them days past in millions of years? There never was none. See, there is no such thing. That's a figment of imagination. That's lying vanities. We were with Him before the world ever was. God said, Job, where was you when the sons of God leaped for joy? Back before the world ever was. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was. Let's give Him a hand. They that come into that, they that see that, they that believe that, that believing will transformate them as they hear this, as they believe this, as they put it up here like the cow that's chewing the cud, eat all day and then go to chew the cud while it lays around to turn it into food. You get all of this and then you go back and you chew the cud and then you start translating, translating, from glory to glory, translating. And then Enoch's gone. Seventh from Adam represent the church. And they without us could not be made perfect. They spoke of that day. Embrace the promise. That's what the preach is for. That's what God's doing. If thou canst believe.